الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. A person goes through different situations and phases in their life. Sometimes there is health and sometimes there is sickness. Sometimes it is happiness and sometimes sadness. Sometimes success, other times failure. When things are not going well, there is some difficulty. What should we do? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to do? And how can we fix our situation? So out of all the ways to get rid of worries, the best sabab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is that of dua. Dua is a means to turn our attention, our gaze towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is free from worries in this world. Just the nature of worries are different. But the best treatment of worries and grief is dua. And in a hadith, the Prophet said that for whomsoever the door of dua has been opened, the doors of mercy have been opened for that person. I mean, for some people, it's very easy to make dua. They love to make dua. They desire to make dua. And if the doors of mercy have been opened for that person. And for others, it's a bit difficult. We make short duas, half a minute dua, 10 second dua. So in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has said that this dua, ad-dua silahul mu'min, this is the weapon of a believer. Just like a person uses weapon as a defense against enemy, this dua is our weapon, the weapon of a believer against worries, grief, sadness, against difficulties. And hence those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them and Allah ta'ala saves them. So this dua is our zarurat, it's our need, that we make effort. But then after that, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah to put barakah in our effort, to accept our efforts, to put success in those efforts. And not only is dua our need, dua is also a beautiful way to express our relationship of ubudiyat to Allah, our bandagi to Allah, that, oh Allah, we are your servants. Because that person who is making dua, in reality, that person is displaying his need to Allah. That Allah, I'm needy, I'm dependent, I'm muhtaj of you. And this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And that is why those who don't make dua, those who think that I'm independent, I don't need to ask, I don't need to make dua, then such a person is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is more is that if we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala becomes happy. Allah ta'ala loves us for that. And on the other hand, if we ask, you know, if you compare, when we ask other people, any person, any human being, if you ask them once, he might give it to you. If you ask them again, he might give it to you. The third time when you ask him, he might give it to you, but he would complain that, why do you keep coming back? And the fourth time when you ask him, he might just plainly refuse. That go to someone else, don't ask me. So if we ask human beings, people around us, even when they give to us, they're also giving us with this hardness in their heart, the parishan, they don't want to give. But look at the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whoever comes to the door of Allah and asks once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. Then they ask a second time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them again. Then they ask a third time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them again. In fact, more than that, that person who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every halat, in every situation, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single thing, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, that person becomes so beloved to Allah that that person's name is written among the friends of Allah, the awliya of Allah. Allah says that, look at my servant, he asks only from me and no one else. This is my truest servant. Allah loves such a person. That's why the Prophet ﷺ taught us that if you want to ask even for a shoelace, you should ask Allah. And not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become happy. In this Hadith Mubarakah, the Prophet ﷺ said that you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loves to be asked. Allah loves this fact that we should ask, we should make dua to Him. This is a way through which a person can become the beloved of Allah. And not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become happy on our asking, Allah commands us in the Quran that ask from me. In a very clear words, Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي, that your Rabb tells you, commands you that you should make dua to me. And when you make dua to me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will accept your dua. So one command is that we should ask, and immediately Allah is also promising the qubuliyat, that I will accept your dua. And those who don't ask, then Allah says that they are displaying their arrogance, they're turning away from me. So we should understand the importance of making dua. If you look in the Quran, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, whenever any difficulty came in their life, they would immediately turn attention towards Allah and make dua. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be Ghaffar. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, he called upon Allah. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, when he was inside the belly of the whale, he called Allah and Allah ta'ala gave him salvation. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, he fell sick, extreme sickness, and in that illness he called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him shifa. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was being thrown inside the fire and he called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala saved him from that fire, from the heat of that fire. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was inside the jail and he called Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him najat. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was at the river. Fir'aun was behind him. He called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala made way and allowed him to cross that river. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the battle of Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and Hunain, called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. So dua, whoever calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only listens to our duas, but Allah also promises to accept our duas. And another thing we should understand, that dua is not only our need, dua is not only something which is beloved to Allah, but making dua is a mustaqil ibadat. It's an independent act of worship. And normally we think that if I'm making dua, my needs will be fulfilled by Allah. But the reality is that where our needs are being fulfilled by Allah, that time when we are making, when we are raising our hands and making dua, that time is also counted in ibadat. It's an act of worship. This is a point that we should understand, that when we pray salah and it takes us 10 minutes to pray salah, we hope that those 10 minutes are written as an act of ibadah, that we will be rewarded for those 10 minutes. If I recite Quran for 10 minutes, then I have hope that I will get a reward for tilawat the Quran for 10 minutes. Those 10 minutes will be rewarding for me. But if I'm making dua for 5 minutes, I should have this umid, I should have this hope that I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatever I'm asking, I will get that. But we don't think that these 5 minutes that I'm making dua, these 5 minutes are also an act of ibadah. They're mustaqil ibadah. So when you make dua, whatever we are asking, we get whatever we are asking from Allah. And for as long as we are making dua, that time is also counted in ibadah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." This du'a is an act of ibadah. Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah. Du'a is the essence of ibadah. So dua is not our spare wheel. Like when you're driving a car and there's a flat tire, so then you take out that spare wheel because now you need to take it out. Dua is not our spare wheel that when things are difficult, when the tire is flat, then only you take it out. Dua is our steering wheel. That even when everything is going according to the plan, according to our liking, we should still make dua, because making dua, that time that we're making dua, Allah will give us what we want. Plus, that time is also written down as an act of ibadah. So this is the beautiful thing about dua, that you will be making dua purely for the benefit of this dunya, that Allah, please fulfill this need that I have. Please let this be done. Even then, it is ibadat. This is a standalone feature of dua. Any other deed that you do with the intention of dunya, if you pray because of dunya, it won't lead to reward. If you recite Quran because of dunya, it won't be rewarding. It requires an intention for akhirat. But the dua is that one and only deed that if a person, even if a person is making dua for pure dunya, for a purely worldly need, that Allah, please give me food, give me shoes, give me clothes, give me house. You're making dua for only a worldly thing. Even in that case, the dua is written down as an ibadat. Why? Because dua, you are turning your attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this amal. Now, whenever a person makes dua, we should understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of a believer. And in Hadith Mubarakah, the Prophet explained this, that there are three ways in which du'as are accepted. Three ways in which du'as are accepted. The first way is that you make du'a for something and Allah gives you as it is. You get exactly the same thing, what you asked for. And normally that's how we consider the acceptance of du'a, right? That I asked for something, I asked for X, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me X. That's only one way in which our du'as are accepted. Then there is another way in which du'as are accepted. Second way is that when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, we don't get that exact same thing, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a better replacement. Sometimes it happens that what you're asking for Allah, so you're asking something from Allah, it's not in your best interest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our best interest. Instead of that dua, Allah gives us a better thing. Allah removes some misfortune that was supposed to come our way. Allah removes some worry, some trouble, some insult that was supposed to come our way. If there is a child who asks for $10 because he wants to buy something to eat, some junk food, the father says that I won't give you $10. Instead, the father takes him to the shop and takes him to the market and buys him food for $20. Healthy, wholesome, tayyab food, beneficial food. He was asking for 10. Father gave him 20. So this is the second way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes some misfortune. Sometimes we say that I almost had an accident, but then Allah saved me. Maybe it was one of our du'as that we made to Allah, and as a result of that du'a, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us from some trial, some tribulation, some tragedy, some misfortune in our life. And then there's a third way in which dua is accepted. The Prophet said that if a person's dua is not accepted in this dunya, and if they ask for something and they don't get that, plus no misfortune is removed from this world for them, then what happens is that that dua is stored for that individual in akhirah. It becomes a provision for akhirah, and in akhirah, a person will be rewarded for that particular dua. It comes in a riwayah that there will be a person in akhirah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show him the reward. And that person will be so surprised and say that, "Ya Allah, I never did so many good deeds in the dunya. This reward is too much." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, "Oh, my servant used to make dua to me in the dunya, and these are the duas that were not fulfilled. And all those duas that were not fulfilled, you're getting the reward for each one of them this day in akhirah." And that person, when he will see the reward that he is getting, he'll be so happy, he'll be so amazed that he will wish in his heart that I wish none of my du'as in the dunya were accepted by Allah. I wish that I could get the reward of all those du'as right now here in akhirah. And Allah Ta'ala will give him so much reward. So these three ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our dua in one of these three ways. So the dua of a believer is accepted, but it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way, the manner in which He accepts our duas. And the scholars have written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chooses the manner, that manner which is the best for us, which is the most beneficial for us, because we don't know. We are asking, we don't know what is beneficial for us. But Allah knows what is best for us, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pick one of these three ways in which He will accept the du'as that we make to Him. Yes, there is one case when du'a is not accepted, it's rejected, and that is when a person starts complaining that Allah does not listen, Allah does not listen to me. So then that du'a is thrown back. Allah always listens to our du'a, and we should understand this principle that out of these three ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant me the dua that I'm making to Him. Achha, then a question comes to our mind that I think most of us would also feel this quite relevant, that I'm making dua, and even the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, Ud'uni, make dua to me, astajib lakum, that I will accept your dua, Allah is promising. And I've been making dua for so long, I've been making dua, mang ke thak gaye, right? We are making so many duas and now we are tired. And still we don't see the kubuliyat. We don't see the signs of the acceptance of that dua. On one side, Quran, there is a promise that duas are accepted. And on the other side, when we see our life, I see that my duas are not accepted. What's the reason for this? So I want to open up this point that actually our scholars have mentioned there are three usul that Allah zarur ba zarur, Allah definitely accepts our du'as, but sometimes there is ta'khir, there is a delay in the acceptance of our du'a, and there are three usul, three principles, three adab or three etiquettes that we should remember when we make du'a. First is that sometimes our du'as are not accepted immediately. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to test us to see whether my servant is a strong believer or a weak believer. Allah wishes to see whether we are a strong believer or a weak believer. Strong believer is that person who makes du'a for one day. If that du'a is not accepted, he makes du'a the second day, for 1 week, for 1 month, for 1 year, continues to make dua, never leaves the doorstep of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, a weak believer is that person who makes dua one day, then makes dua the second day, then makes dua the third day, and still the dua is not fulfilled. That person says that Allah doesn't listen to me, Allah doesn't accept me, leaves the door of Allah. So one should try to be a strong believer. The first principle is that we should continue to make dua. Allah, we should have istiqamat, continuity. With istiqamat, with consistency, we should yani musalsal dua mange. We should continue to make dua, that one day or the other this door will open. And when a person has that attitude, that they act in a strong, like a strong believer, they continue to make dua, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat becomes mutawajjih, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door and accepts that dua. And in any case, you know, why should we leave the doorstep of Allah? We should leave this doorstep if we have any other door to go to, right? Like the beggars in the dunya, if they don't get from one door, they have an option. They can go to the second door. And if they don't get from the second door, they can go to the third door. But masla to hamara, right? We have a problem that we have no other door to go to except the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we just have to keep ourselves attached with this door of Allah. That whatever I will get from this one door of Allah. In the books, it's mentioned that there was a story that there was a pious old man who went for Hajj, and he used to go for Hajj every year. And one year he went for Hajj with one of his helpers. So when they reached Arafah, and there he was saying talbiyah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, oh Allah, I'm present, labbaik. And at that time, he heard a voice from above which said that la labbaik, la labbaik, that your labbaik is not accepted. So that helper, he said that, "Oh, Sheikh, what is this voice?" And that pious little man, he said that, "Why are you worried? Don't be worried about this. I've been performing this Hajj for the last 20 years, and every single time in Yawm-e Arafah, when I say Labbaik, I hear this voice from above, 'La Labbaik,' that we haven't accepted your Labbaik." And then he explained that, "Tell me that even if I'm hearing this La Labbaik, is there any other door that I can go to except for this door of Allah? Tell me, is there any other door that I can go to?" And when he made that dua, he said those words, immediately the voice from above came and said, "The Labbaik, we accepted your Labbaik, and the Labbaik for the previous 20 years, the Hajj that you were performing, we've accepted that Hajj also. The previous 20 Hajj have also been accepted." So this is how a person needs to be, that this is the only door that we have. And this is also so true that whoever gets the tawfiq to attach themselves to Allah and make dua to Allah, then they don't have to go to small doors of the dunya. They don't have to beg before people. They don't have to embarrass themselves asking other people. They don't have to bear that zillat and start crying and have tears before other people. Must have seen all of this in the dunya, that if you have a taluk with the president or the prime minister, then the small people, you don't even bring them to attention. You say, "I have a taluk with the prime minister, with the president." So that individual who learns to cry tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't need to cry tears or shed tears before anyone else. They have a taluk with Allah. Allah will suffice for them. Allah will be sufficient for them. These people of the dunya, they bechare themselves are muhtaj. They themselves are needy. They themselves are dependent. If you just were to ask any one of them, they will tell you their own stories of how many problems they have in their own life, how many masla they have there in their own life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not muhtaj of anyone. Allah is not needy of anyone. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara ila Allah. You are fakir, but Allah is ghani. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who doesn't need any of us, has no needs, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can fulfill all our problems, solve all our issues and problems, we should attach ourselves to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a story mentioned in the book that there was a blind man and who had this piala, this kotora with him, and he was asking, begging on the streets, that, "Give it to me, give something to me, give something to me, right? Give something to me." And when he reached we reached the door of the masjid, and again he's making that same, that, "Give something to me, give something to me." And then there was no response from that door. So he said that, "Whose door is it that I'm knocking on the door, I'm asking, and no one is replying?" As he was saying this, a young man passed by and said, "Oh, Babaji, this is the door of Allah. This is the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So as soon as he heard this, that blind man, he threw that piala, that kotora that he had, and he said that, "Now that I've reached the door of the masjid, I don't need to go to any other door. I don't need to go to any other door." This is a lesson for us, that when we are at the door of Allah, then we don't need to go to any other door. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for fulfilling all our needs. But the first principle, the condition is that we have to make dua continuously with istiqamah. So sometimes, if you see in the Quran, Allah mentions Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, that Allah blessed him with a child in old age. Now imagine, in old age that dua is accepted, and this is the dua of a Nabi. I mean, for how many years he would have made this dua to Allah, and then in old age, finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua, when his bones are feeble, when his hair has become white. So one should not be disappointed. In fact, you must have seen that sometimes, if there is a child and he wants something from his mother, and the mother, she is upset. She says, "No, I won't give this to you." And the child is also insistent, right? Sahib-e-istiqamat. Continuously keeps on asking, "Oh, mother, I want this, I want this, I want this." And the mother is saying, I won't give it, I won't give it." And then finally the child is so insistent that he starts crying. And when he has tears in his eyes, the mother eventually, because of her motherly love, she gives in. She said, okay, I'll give it to you. Don't cry." This is exactly the same way Allah deals with us. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, She narrates that the Prophet said that I swear by Allah that there is a person who is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, but at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with that individual. Allah is not happy. Allah is angry. That person continues to ask and still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry. But this person doesn't leave asking, continues to ask, continues to ask. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the angels and says that, oh my angels, it seems that this person has made a pledge that he is going to ask me and only me and no one else. And the angels, they reply in affirmative. And then Allah says that, okay, I make you testify, bear witness, that whatever this person is asking, I will give him whatever he is asking. Plus, I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have also become razi with him. I become pleased with him. And I'm going to include this person among my beloveds. Allah begins to have muhabbat for that person. So that he is turning only to me in dua and he's asking no one else. So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might be upset with someone, displeased with someone, but if that individual comes on the door of Allah and keeps asking Allah, asking with consistency, with istiqamah, through this one amal of dua, that person can become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also fulfill the needs of that individual. Second principle to remember, sometimes du'as are not accepted immediately, is because we are making du'a, but we don't have yaqeen in our du'a. We don't have conviction in the qubuliyat, in the acceptance of our du'a. And we should understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with His servant the way they think about Allah. In Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ana inda zanni abdi bi, that I am with my servant as he thinks about me, as she thinks about me. So what is our condition when we make dua? We in our heart are thinking that I'm such a big sinner, I'm so far away from Allah, I don't pray, I don't fast, this, that, or the other, right? And how can my dua be accepted? We begin to doubt our own dua, and when we are doubtful about our own duas, then that is what happens. Ana inda zanni abdi bi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acts with us the way we have guman about Allah. So we should always make dua with yaqeen, with certainty, with conviction. And we should also understand that this is a very dangerous thing. It's a risky thing. Because let's say there is a pious person who makes a promise to us, some religious person, and he makes a promise to me. And if I don't trust that person would be hurt that I'm promising, I'm pledging, I'm doing a vada, and still, look at this person, he's not trusting me. So if that is the case in the dunya, we should understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made a promise with all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made a promise with all of us. And this is not my statement. I'm not mentioning a statement of one of my teachers. I'm not telling some zaif or a weak hadith. This is the word of Quran. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Allah says in Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, that your Rabb tells you to make dua, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and Allah will accept your dua. In this ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise. And still, if a person says that my dua is not accepted, how will my dua be accepted? And he won't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become upset with this individual? That I am promising to you that I will accept your duas, and you have mistrust for me, you have misgivings, you have doubts, you have badgumani. Any badgumani is such a big crime. We're not supposed to have misgivings towards fellow human beings. It's a gunahi kabira, it's a major sin. That why do you have misgivings towards other people? Think well about others. And here we have badgumani, we're thinking ill about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah doesn't listen to my du'as, Allah doesn't accept my du'as. So we should have yaqeen, conviction on the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, we should also understand why do we have these doubts? Why don't we have this yaqeen? And the answer is shaitan. Shaitan puts this waswasa in our heart, to look at you, how can your du'a be accepted? Allah will only accept the du'as of pious and the righteous. And shaitan wants to create this separation between us and Allah. That's why he put this waswasa. But the reality, the haqiqat is that in this ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to make du'a, Allah is not only commanding the pious members to make du'a, or the righteous to make du'a, or those who are close to Allah, only they should make du'a. Allah is commanding all of humanity. Ud'uni, all of you, every single human being, make du'a to me. Faqala rabbukum, this kum zamir is addressed to every single human being. All of you should call to me. Astajib lakum, and I will accept the du'as of all of you. Any in this word, this kum, this pronoun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even differentiating between a believer and an unbeliever. The pious should call to me. Those who are sinners, they should also call to me. Those who believe in me called upon me. Those who don't even believe in me, they should also call upon me. Astajib lakum, I will accept every person's dua. Allah is not doing any farak. We do this farak. There is no farak in the sight of Allah. We are making this farak, this differentiation. Allah accepts the du'as of those who don't even believe in Him. And I'll give you two examples. One is shaitan. When shaitan refused to do sajda, this is mentioned in the Quran. He refused to do sajda, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that now la'anati ila yawmiddin, and now get out of this assembly. Leave this assembly. And at that time, while leaving the assembly of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan made dua to Allah and asked Allah, that, oh Allah, I ask you that you grant me respite until Yawm al-Qiyamah, that I can lead mankind astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of shaitan. Rabbi fa'anzirni ila yawmi yub'asun. Allah, give me muhlat until Qiyamah. Allah says, fa'innaka minal munzari. That I've given you muhlat. Your dua has been accepted. Go. Yani, if shaitan's dua is accepted, so whenever this waswasa comes into our heart, that patani, my dua will be accepted or not, I'm such a big sinner, I don't pray, I don't fast, we should always remember that this is coming from shaitan. This is always coming from shaitan, and why don't we reply to shaitan? Why don't we say this to shaitan, that, oh shaitan, when your dua was accepted by Allah, why wouldn't my dua be accepted by Allah? When you refuse to do one sajda, and still your dua was accepted by Allah, I am doing sajda to Allah, I'm praying my farais, why would Allah reject my dua? Allah will definitely accept my dua. You were being thrown out of the assembly of Allah, at that time you made dua and Allah accepted your dua. I have entered the masjid, I'm in the presence of Allah, I'm on the janamas, on the musalla, and I'm making dua in this condition, why wouldn't my dua be accepted? So we should make dua with yaqeen, with conviction. In Tafsir Kabir of Imam Razi rahmatullah, he mentions a story where Fir'aun, his dua was also accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That once the Nile stopped flowing, yani the river Nile stopped flowing, and the people came to Fir'aun and said that, you are our king, you are our lord, command the river to flow. And the Fir'aun said, okay, go, 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 I'll take care of this. He knew that I don't have that ability. And then that night he left his palace and he came, Fir'aun, yani. Fir'aun left the palace and came on the bank of River Nile. And there, then he raised his head towards the sky. He was not wearing his crown. There was no chappal on his feet. In that halat, he raised his hands up towards the sky and then addressed Allah and said, oh Allah, you know that I don't control the water. You are that being who controls the water of this river. I ask you that you let this river flow. And in the books, it's mentioned that he hadn't completed his dua and he could hear the water, the gushing of the water started to flow. So if the Fir'auns of their time, when their duas were accepted by Allah, then why wouldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our dua? We should make dua with yaqeen, with conviction. In hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that you should try to make dua in a condition when you have full conviction on the being of Allah. when you have full conviction in the acceptance of that dua. And also remember that dua which comes from an inattentive heart, which is not attentive, that dua will not be accepted. So second principle is that we should make dua with conviction, with yaqeen, with attentive, right? To be attentive in our dua towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make it with certainty. And the last thing, third principle, is that we should make dua with humility. And here again, we make a mistake that we are making dua, but it seems as if we are ordering someone, Allah, you know, do this, do that, do this, don't do this, right? Like we tell our kids that get the vegetable, get the grocery, get the ghee, get this, right? Get the rice, get the medicine. As if we are just kaam zimme laga rahe, right? We're sort of assigning task. That's not the way to make dua. Dua is supposed to be made with humility, with ajizi. And the way we should learn how to make dua is look at a beggar. He wants to ask one penny, and in order to get that one penny from the tips of his head to the soles of his feet, you can see his fakr, you can see the motaji, the need that is dripping from him in the way the words that he uses, every word touches your heart, right? The way he carries himself, the way he's turning to you and asking you. Allah says in Quran also, ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiya, that make dua girgirake and silently, chupke chupke. Right, make dua secretly with humility, with ajizi. And one of the best ways to learn how to make dua is to think about a child. When a child wants something, he doesn't look left, right, or center. He just asks, right? They're asking and asking and asking and asking, and then finally they start crying. And when tears come from his eyes, then the parents, they give in, right? Okay, don't cry, take it. So aasu se baat banti hai. In our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, we should try to shed some tears, make dua with tears in our eyes. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to say that if you cannot cry in your duas, at least adopt the facial expression of crying, and perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that dua. And I'll just end with one other story which teaches us what's that kafiyat with which we should make dua, right? That humility, that ajizi that we should have. In the books, it's mentioned that there was a ruler by the name of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And he was known as a very strict, stern, hard man, that whatever he said, he would just complete that, right? He would issue order and then would fulfill those commands. And he was known as a very harsh ruler. And one day, there was a blind man who was making tawaf of Baytullah Sharif, and he was making dua that, oh Allah, give me my eyesight back. Oh Allah, give me my eyesight back. Oh Allah, give me my eyesight back. And at that time, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he entered the Haram, Masjid al-Haram. And he saw that blind man, so he called him and said that, look, I am starting my tawaf now. And before my 7 circles are completed, if you don't get your eyesight back, then I'm going to kill you. And he was known like that person, right? That whatever he said, he would do it. I'm going to kill you. And now that blind man is making dua to Allah Ta'ala, and he's making dua with so much ajazi, so much humility, that, oh Allah, before it was just a matter of my eyesight, now it's a matter of my life. My life depends on this. And it said that he made dua with so much humility, so much ajazi, before the 7 chakras, the 7 circles were completed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored his eyesight back. So we should also make dua with that level of humility, as if my life depends on this. My life depends on this. And inshallah, if you make dua in such a way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our duas. So what is the need? And this is the month of Ramadan. In this month, this is a month of dua. So what the need of the time, the need of this month is that all of us, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah abundantly in this month, but make dua in the manner in which we're supposed to make dua. And these are 3 principles to remember, that first we should make dua with consistency, with istiqamat, musalsal, make dua continuously. be a strong believer, not a weak believer. And second is to make dua by having yaqeen on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our tongue is jhooti, our tongue is lies, right? We don't have any etamad on our, we don't have any confidence on our tongue. But what we should have confidence is we should trust the wada of Allah. Allah, I don't trust myself. I don't trust my tongue, but I trust you, the promise that you have made to me. And that is where we should derive our yaqeen from. That I have yaqeen in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I'm making this dua, and that's why I'm certain about this dua, that Allah will accept this dua. So make dua with certainty on the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, number three, we should make dua with ajizi, with humility. And inshallah, if we can make dua in this way, then we can fix our problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can solve our issues. And we can use this dua as a way of not only bettering and improving our life in this dunya, fulfilling our needs, worldly needs in this dunya, but this dua can also become a way through which we can become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can become the mahabub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is perhaps one of the greatest blessings of making dua. And this is the beauty of the deen of Islam. We are making dua for our own sake. And because of this amal, we can earn the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also become the mahabub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah ta'ala, that may Allah ta'ala make all of us people of dua and make all of us, grant all of us the tawfiq to make dua in a manner that is pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to do amal on these teachings of our deen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A short dua, inshallah. Subhan Rabbil Al Wahab. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, hum zahir mein aapke bande hain, haqeeqat mein bahut gande hain. Ya Rabbi Kareem, hamare dil ki gandagi ko dur farma dijiye. Allah, hamare dilon ko saaf farma dijiye. Hamari nigahon ko paak farma dijiye. Hamare dilon ko apni mohabbat se labrez farma. Allah, apne ishq ki aatish hamare seenon mein paida farma. Ya Rabbi Kareem, aapne Quran mein farmaya, ud'uni astajib lakum, ki mujhse dua mango, main tumhari duaon ko qubool karunga. Ya Rabbi Kareem, aapne ye farak to nahi kiya کہ صرف نیک لوگ دعا مانگے, میں صرف نیکوں کی دعا قبول کروں گا. اللہ, آپ نے تو سب سے وعدہ فرمایا ہے. یا رب کریم, ہم بھی آپ کے گناہگار بندے ہیں. اللہ, آپ کے دروازے پہ حاضر ہیں, ہاتھ اٹھائے بیٹھے ہیں. یا رب کریم, اپنی رحمت فرما دیجئے. اللہ, ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمتوں سے قبول فرما لیجئے. یا رب کریم, ہماری جھولیوں کو اللہ اپنی رحمت سے بھر دیجئے. اللہ, ہم اپنے تمام گناہوں پہ نادم اور شرمندہ ہیں. اللہ, ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے, ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم, ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما دیجئے. اللہ, ہماری جو نیک حاجتیں ہیں, اللہ اپنی رحمت ان کو پورا فرما لیجئے. اللہ, رمضان کا ویسے بھی مہینہ ہے. اللہ, اس مہینے کے اندر ہر شخص کے دل میں اللہ بہت تمنائیں ہوتی ہیں, بہت امید ہوتی ہے, بہت دعائیں ہوتی ہیں, بہت آرزوئیں ہوتی ہیں. اللہ, پورے سال ہم اس مہینے کا انتظار کرتے ہیں کہ یہ مہینہ آئے گا تو اللہ, ہم آپ سے مانگیں گے. یا رب کریم, اب یہ مہینہ آ چکا ہے. اللہ, ہم اپنی امیدوں کے ساتھ آپ سے مانگ رہے ہیں. یا رب کریم, ہماری امیدوں کو پورا فرما دیجئے. اللہ, ہمیں اپنے دروازے سے خالی ہاتھ نہ لوٹائیے. اللہ, آپ مہربانی ہم پر فرما دیجئے. अल्लाह खैर का मामला फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हम पर एहसान फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हम तो बुरे हैं, अल्लाह आप तो अच्छे हैं, अल्लाह बुरों से तो बुराई ही जाहिर होती है, अल्लाह आप तो अच्छे हैं, अल्लाह अच्छे लोग अच्छाई को तो नहीं छोड़ते, अल्लाह आप अपनी अच्छाई को ना छोड़िए, अल्लाह हम बुरे हैं, अल्लाह आप हमारे साथ अच्छाई वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारे गुनाहों को माफ़ फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें अपनी रहमतों से अल्लाह हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। या रब करीम, हम गुनाहों के दलदल में फंसे हैं, अल्लाह निकलना चाहते भी हैं तो निकल नहीं पाते, अल्लाह नफ्स और शैतान अल्लाह हमारे साथ लगा हुआ है। या रब करीम, जो शख्स मिट्टी के दलदल में फंसा हो, अपने आप को निकालने की जितनी कोशिश करता है वो और नीचे ढंसता चला जाता है। अल्लाह हम भी अल्लाह गुनाहों के दलदल में फंसे हैं, अल्लाह निकलने की जितनी कोशिश करते हैं अल्लाह यूं लगता है कि और ढंसते चले जाते हैं। अल्लाह एक कदम आगे बढ़ाते हैं दो कदम पीछे फिसल जाते हैं। या रब्बे करीम, ये सिलसिला कब तक चलता रहेगा? अल्लाह अपनी रहमत अता कर दीजिए, अल्लाह हम पर मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह आप हमें गुनाहों के दलदल से निकाल दीजिए, अल्लाह आप हमें नेकी और तकवा वाली ज़िंदगी अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमारे लिए गुनाहों को छोड़ना तो मुश्किल है, अल्लाह आप इन्हें गुनाहों को छुड़वा देना तो आसान है। या रब्बे करीम, अल्लाह गुनाहों से पाक साफ ज़िंदगी अता फरमा, अल्लाह हमें गुनाहों की मासीत की जिल्लत से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा, हमें इताअत की इज्जत अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, अल्लाह हमारी आज की इस तौबा को कबूल फरमा लीजिए, अल्लाह इल्म हासिल होने के बाद जहालत के कामों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा, अल्लाह अपना कुर्ब के बाद दूरी से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा, अल्लाह हिदायत मिलने के बाद अल्लाह गुमराही से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, अल्लाह फितनों का दौर है, या रब्बे करीम हमारे ईमान की हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह आपने कुरान में फरमाया, फअम्मा साइला फला तनहर, कि तुम्हारे दर पे कोई साइल मांगने वाला आ जाए तो उसको भी मना ना करना, कुछ दे देना। अल्लाह हम भी तो आपके दर के साइल हैं। या रब्बे करीम, हम भी आप ही से मांग रहे हैं। या रब्बे करीम, अल्लाह आपके दर के सिवा और कोई दर नहीं, अल्लाह हम जाएँ तो कहाँ जाएँ, अल्लाह मांगे तो किससे मांगे, अल्लाह आप ही हमारे परवरदगार हैं, अल्लाह आप ही हमारे खालिक और मालिक हैं, अल्लाह आप ही हमारे रब हैं, अल्लाह आपके सिवा हमारा कोई मलजा नहीं, कोई मावा नहीं, कोई दूसरी पनागाह नहीं। अल्लाह हमारे हाथों को कबूल फरमा लीजिए, अल्लाह उठे हाथों को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह, दिल की जो भी नेक तमन्नाएं हैं अल्लाह सब की दिल की नेक तमन्नाओं को पूरा फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह हमने माँ बाप को देखा है कि अपने छोटे छोटे बच्चों की तमन्नाओं को पूरा करके खुश हो जाते हैं, अल्लाह हमारी भी तमन्ना है। अल्लाह जब हमारा वक्त करीब आए इस दुनिया से रुख्सत होने का, अल्लाह पहले आप हमसे राज़ी हो जाएगा, अल्लाह फिर हमें मौत अता फरमाएगा। अल्लाह हमें अपनी रज़ा पहले अता फरमाएगा, अल्लाह फिर हमें मौत अता फरमाएगा। या रब्बे करीम, अपनी रहमतों से हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा लीजिए, अल्लाह पर मेहरबानी वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह जो मांगा है उससे बेहतर अता फरमा, जो मांगना चाहिए था नहीं मांग सके अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से वो भी अता फरमा, आने वाले वक्त को गुजरो हुए वक्त से बेहतर फरमा, आने वाली ज़िंदगी को गुजरी हुई ज़िंदगी का कफ़ारा बना। सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला खैर खल्क़िही मुहम्मदियों وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.